This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We've been in a series on the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're continuing on this series, and I'm going to get real practical with you this morning and giving you keys on developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I love this. And let's look at our main text that we've been looking at for, you know, some time for this service. We're in part four of this series. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." I love that. So we see here that the main function of the Holy Spirit, we see that Jesus is our grace, God Father is our love, amen? But we see here in this passage, it's focused on the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we can learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I believe that when we learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, our faith will go higher in God. And I don't know about you, but I want my faith going higher in God. Can I get an amen today? My question to you is, how is your fellowship with the Holy Spirit? You can say, well, you know, it's pretty good with the Father. And, you know, I'm really in good with Jesus, but I don't talk to the Holy Spirit that much. Amen. And you need to be focused on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not just a power. It's not just a feeling. He's not a force. He's a person. And we just got to remember that the Holy Spirit is abiding in us, and the Holy Spirit's abiding upon us. Somebody say, in me and upon me. Let's say that again. In me and upon me. And so the Holy Spirit's abiding in us, and the Holy Spirit's abiding upon us. For what reason? To help us. How many people need help out here? I need a lot of help. I don't know about you, but I can't even get up right in the morning without God's help. Can I get a witness in the house today? Of course, coffee helps me out too, but if the Holy Spirit's not working too good, the Holy Spirit's always working. But our bodies aren't always working, so sometimes we need that caffeine to get up, amen? So I'm going to give you some keys this morning, some practical keys that's going to help you, you know, make God come alive in your life. Because I think sometimes as Christians, we sometimes forget that God is here. As Christians, we're running our lives, we're doing our things every day, we're just doing things, but we tend to forget that God is in us and that God is with us. And you don't want to forget about that. The devil wants you to forget that God is in you and that God is with you. So the number one key to develop your relationship with God is awareness. Can somebody say awareness? Awareness. Amen. You got to be aware that God is here. You got to be aware that God's in you. You got to have awareness. And awareness is the quality of state of being aware, knowledge, and understanding something is happening or exists. I looked it up. Amen. So I did some homework last night. Amen. So it's an awareness that the Holy Spirit's here to help us. Amen. And so we must acknowledge the Holy Spirit. I believe we need to start acknowledging the Holy Spirit more and more. Yes, we do acknowledge God, the Father, Jesus, but we need to also acknowledge the Holy Spirit, because He's with us to help us on our day-to-day activities. You know, Jesus said, "I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly." How many people like that scripture? Well, if you're going to live the abundant life, the only way you're going to be able to do that is with the help of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be able to do it in your own personal power. You can have willpower, but willpower will only go so far. You got to have spirit power. Amen. Can somebody say spirit power? Spirit. Amen. Because, you know, you make that decision. I'm never going to eat dessert again. And then what happens? Somebody comes over and brings you some dessert. Amen. And so what? That willpower only goes so far, but God can help you. Say, God is helping me. And God can help you with every area, in every area of your lives. You believe that today? Amen. And so God can help you, and He can help you turn things around. Amen. And He can help you in every area. Amen. And He will help us, and He will lead us. And sometimes, you know, have you ever left the house and you forgot something? And right when you walked out the house, you locked the door, you're walking to your car, you said, oh yes, I got to go back and get that. Have you ever done that? Or is that me, the absent-minded professor? Amen. Any of you are absent-minded professors out here? Amen. And so, you know, you leave the house and you're like, oh my, I got to go back. Well, you know, you got to think about this. Who's reminding you that you need to get that thing? The Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to say to you is when you get, oh yes, I got to go back and get that. Why? Because you don't want to be down half mile down the road and then having turned back, right? And so what you should do is you should say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Because the more you acknowledge Him, the more humility, oh, I'm going somewhere this morning, the more humility you're going to walk in. You're not going to be thinking that you're that smart. You got to start thinking that God is smart and He makes you smart. I'm going to say it again. God is smart and He makes us smart and He helps us not to forget something. Amen? Maybe God leads you to witness to somebody. And you're able to give some scriptures, and you're able maybe even to lead them to the Lord. After you're done with that, you need to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. When I open my mouth wide, you fill it. You need to thank the Holy Spirit that He gives you the wisdom and the knowledge. Maybe somebody upsets you and they do something wrong to you. And the Holy Spirit helps you maintain you peace so that you don't come against them. You need to recognize it's the Holy Spirit, and you need to say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me maintain my peace. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, patience, goodness, meekness, and self-control. Amen. I think I got most of them. Amen. And self-control. I love this about the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit will help you remember. Amen. So develop the relationship with the Holy Spirit. We must be aware that He's always there, ready to help us in every area of our life. If we're going to do this and we're going to have a living relationship with the Lord, we need to start practicing the art of thankfulness. The art of thankfulness. When anything good comes in your life, you need to recognize it as the Holy Spirit doing something good in your life. If somebody does something good for you, you need to recognize it as the Holy Spirit influencing them to do good for you. You can thank the person if they are nice to you and do something for you, but really thank the Lord because He's the one that prompts people to do good for us. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I got an amen there. And so we don't put our faith and trust in people. People can be a blessing to us, and they can be a channel of blessing, but God gets the ultimate thanks. Amen? So we want to thank God, for God moves on people to bless us. Do you believe that today? Amen. I love that. And I love that. So the Apostle Paul teaches us how to walk in Christ. I love this scripture. It says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So I'm going to break this scripture down. The Lord wants us to be aware that every day we need to be walking in him. That means we're living every day in Jesus. That means that we're living what I call the crucified life. Does anybody know what I mean by that? Well, this is one of my mom's favorite scriptures. Mom, this is for you this morning. And this is her favorite scripture, and it should be one that we live by. It's in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, talking about living for Christ every day. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Powerful scripture. So we live, say this, I live the crucified life. Amen. Which means that we're crucified to the world and the world is crucified to us. We're not worldly, we're holy. I'm going to say it again. We're not worldly Christians, we're holy Christians, set apart for God's perfect use. Can I get a witness in the house today? So, and the second part of this scripture, the first part is walk in him. The second part is be rooted and built up in him. What does that mean to be rooted and built up in him? That means that we need to continue to be praying to the Lord and really praying in the Spirit. If you're going to be rooted and you're going to be strong in the Lord, and really if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you should be praying in the Holy Ghost as often as you can. And I love this in Jude 1:20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So he's saying here, to be rooted and built up in him, I believe you have to have a strong prayer life. Say, my prayer life is getting stronger. Now, you might have to say that by faith, amen? But your prayer life is getting stronger, amen? And I want you to start practicing praying to the Lord, amen? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Get built up, glory to God. And if for some reason you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, believe God and he will baptize you with the gift of speaking in other tongues. But until then, praise and worship him and thank him for it. Amen. Number three, he says in this verse that we need to be established in our faith. Establish your faith. What that means is constantly standing. To be established, it means constantly standing on the Word of God and obeying it. Are you constantly standing on the Word, and are you obeying what you're reading? Because it doesn't matter if you know a lot of Word. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of scriptures memorized. What matters is, are you doing them? Oh, I'm going somewhere today. You can have a lot of scriptures, but are you obeying the scriptures? Pastor, you're going somewhere today. Yeah, I can quote some scriptures about it. Yeah, but are you doing them? Amen? In James 1:25, it says this way, he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. I love that. So it's more than just confessing a scripture. A lot of times we like to confess scriptures. And it's good to confess the scripture. And you say, well, I got the job done. I confessed the scripture. Yeah, but are you obeying it? Well, I've confessed, turned the other cheek, but I'm getting back at that person for hurting me. You know, you can confess it, but you got to turn the other cheek. You got to let it go. Somebody say, let it go. So he's saying here to establish our faith, We must look at the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, continue in it, and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And he says that the person that does the word will be blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed because I do the word. Amen. Glory to God. See, I'm getting you to confess that you do the word of God. Amen. And number four, this is where the key is, talking about when we're recognizing the Holy Spirit in our life and developing a heart of thankfulness. He says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in what? In the Lord with thanksgiving. I like what it says in Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I love that. So here, he's saying here that we need to abound with thanksgiving. So if you're going to make God more real in your life, you need to recognize that he's here. You got to recognize that he's in you, that he's upon you. You got to recognize when he's doing things in your life, when somebody does something nice for you, it's more than that person being nice. It's the Holy Spirit. Come on. It's God being good to you. It's God being good to you. You got to get that revelation. God is being, yes, that person might be being good to you, but God is being good to you. So you got all praise goes to God. Amen. And it's good to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody blesses you with some money. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody gives you a gift. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Because he's influencing people for your good. You believe that today? So being aware that the Holy Spirit is actively working in our lives and practicing the presence of God by acknowledging him and thanking him will make him more real to you in your life. So number two key to develop a great relationship with the Holy Spirit, and this is a big key. Are you ready for this big key here? This is powerful. It's reverence. Reverence. Wow, Pastor. That means, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, reverence. I looked this one up too. I did some homework last night. It says, means a feeling of respect and admiration for someone or something. A feeling of respect or admiration for someone or something. Who deserves our highest respect? Who deserves our highest honor? The Lord. The Lord deserves our highest honor. He deserves our highest respect. But you know, sometimes we don't, sometimes we can, and I've have done this in the past, taken God for granted. I have taken his grace for granted. I have not taken God seriously like I need to. And some of us need to get more serious with our relationship with God. S-E-R-I-O-U-S. Let's get serious. Amen. And let's get serious with the Lord. Amen. And we need to make sure that we're not haphazard in our relationship with God. There was a couple people in the New Testament. This is New Testament now. That was not too serious with God. And these people were Ananias and Sapphira. Has anybody ever heard of Ananias and Sapphira? Yeah, those are names you don't want to name your kids. You don't want to name your kids Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. I'm having a kid today. What's their names? Twins, Ananias and Sapphira. Change the name. You don't want to name your kid Judas. Change that name. Amen. I don't think I've ever met a Judas. Amen. So you got to be careful. And Ananias Sapphira is his wife. It's in Acts 5. Sold a possession and kept back part of its proceeds. And his wife also, and he kept back part of his proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it, and laid it to the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep part of the price of the land yourself?" So what happened was Barnabas, before that, Barnabas was called the the son of encouragement, and he sold a piece of land, and he gave all the money to the church, and everybody was excited about it. And I believe, you know, Ananias and Sapphira saw the fanfare that Barnabas got. So after that, they sold a piece of land. But what they did was say, we're going to sell some land, but we're going to hold back some of that money, but we're going to make it look like that we're giving it all to God. This is what's going on here. And so they kept back some of the money. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Oh, my Lord. They were lying, and they were lying to the Holy Spirit. And he said, and keep back the price of the land yourself. In other words, the Holy Spirit told Peter what was going on, undercovered their hypocrisy. And, you know, you got to be careful because the Holy Spirit might talk to me about you. Amen. And I might have to call you and pray for you. Amen. Amen. And the Holy Spirit might reveal something for me to help you. It will always not for me to criticize you or to condemn you, but it's really to help you. And he said, you kept back the part of that. And why it remained was not your own. And after it was sold, was not your own in control. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God, calling the Holy Spirit God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell dead and breathed his last. Now this is in church. Normally in church, you want to raise the dead in church. That's what you want to do in church. But this church service, people were dying. Think about that. It wasn't one of those real fanfare church services. It wasn't real exciting. But when the power of God is in manifestation and God is moving, and you can't con God. You can't play games with God. You got to get serious with God, especially in church. And then the wife came and she came and Peter asked her the same question. And Peter said, well, and she said, yeah, we sold the land for such and such. And he said, well, you know, the people that carried your husband out to bury him will carry you out too. And she fell dead. Think about that. So what happened? What happened was that they didn't reverence or fear God. Now, this is not Old Testament. This is New Testament. Now, if this was New Testament, this was the beginning of the church. What happens when God starts turning up the volume and the anointing starts increasing and the grace starts increasing? We better be watching our P's and Q's. Amen. In other words, we come in reverencing God and respecting Him and giving Him holy honor that He deserves. He deserves holy honor. Do you believe that today? And the next scripture says this, because I believe when we honor God, we will see more miracles in our lives. When we dishonor God, we will see less of His power working in our lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? Somebody say, honor God. Honor God. I want to see the miracles. Amen. And it says here, the next scripture says this in Acts 5:12. Because all the people that weren't serious about the church, a couple of scriptures said they left the church. So they got all serious people in the church now. And it says here in Acts 5:12, and after that happened, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. Now that tells me when we get in a reverential fear of God, a holy awe of God, when we come together in unity and one accord, God will move among us. God will do miracles among us. God might even heal you in your seat. Can I get a witness in the house today? When we come together in reverential fear of God, and you say, well, you know, God's not like that anymore. Well, He was like that in the book of Acts. And if the church gets on fire for God, people better watch their P's and Q's and come in, you know, in honoring God. Jesus says it this way. He says in Matthew 10, 28, you ready? These words are in red. That means Jesus spoke them. He said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, our faith, our relationship with God will come to a higher degree when we get into place of reverencing him, glory to God. When we get in a place of reverencing him. You know, one of the ways that we can reverence him, a couple ways in church service. Now, I'm going to get on myself today. This is not just for you. This is for me too, because I tend to run it right on the line, just maybe just on time. And every once in a while, I may be a minute or two late for some of my services. But, you know, the Lord's been working on me. And I want to go higher. And I want you to go higher. And I believe if you're going to walk in a higher honor with God, are you ready for this? Now, it's for me too. Get to church on time. Oh. It's for me too. I'm one of these guys that I run it right there on the wire. I run it on the wire. It's for me too. This is for me. This is not just for you. I'm preaching to myself. My wife is saying, yes, that's right. Amen. So I want it, pastor's going to go to the next level, and I'm going to make sure I'm not only on time, but I'm going to get here early. Amen. By the help of the Holy Spirit. By the help of the Holy Spirit. I know there's times where we run, where the devil throws every obstacle at us. And we just can't, we're trying to hell and high water to get here. And everything is breaking down. Everything's falling apart. I know every once in a while, but it shouldn't be a habit. It shouldn't be every Sunday you're 15 minutes late. Do you know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, you get the grace card. You get the grace. But we should get here on time. But can I get an amen there? Amen. I hope I'm going to. And listen, don't say, well, pastor preached about being on time. I'm not even going to show up. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Still come to church. I'd rather you be late than not show up at all. Amen. I'm being honest. Be late. Come in. But show up. Can I get a witness to hell today? Amen. Because this is the key, and this is what the Lord revealed to me. That when we come in on time, we're walking in love. When we don't come in time, we're walking out of love, because love looks out for others. And so what happens is, if we're not in here together, worshiping together in unity, and we come in and we interrupt people's worship and all that, then we're not walking in the highest level of love, because we can end up hindering people from worshiping the service. Is that right? And so we don't want to hinder. We don't want to be a hinder. We want to be a help. Is that right? So again, you know, we can hinder. We can either hinder the movement of the Holy Spirit. You know, even me, you know, I get lax sometimes in worship. I say, I got to go get a coffee while the worship going. I'm going to stop doing that. Amen. I'm going to be here worshiping the Lord. I'm telling off myself. And if we want to go high, how many people want to go higher? Amen. I know this hurts so good this morning. We need to be focused in praise and worship, glory to God. We need to be focused in praise and worship. And we need to be focused on loving. How do you know a person loves God? He loves people. See, the Bible says if a person loves God, they walk in love towards people. And the Bible says if you hate your brother, you don't love God. And if you got problems with your brother, you don't have any love for God. So really, we got to have love for each one of us. Amen. We got to practice love. In Philippians 2, 1 and 4, it says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord and one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's the love walk, right? Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen? So pray and help the Lord keep you, you know, and when you're in service, worshiping the Lord, you know, make sure that you're staying focused on him. You're not going out there for coffee. Amen. When the word of God is going forth, you know, you can don't have conversations with the one next to you while the word is going forth. Stay focused on the word. Don't be scrolling on Instagram while I'm preaching. Amen. Don't be looking at your emails. Be focused on the word. Why? Because you laugh, but people do that. Glory to God. I'm thinking, are they reading a bunch of scriptures? Glory to God. And they're going through the phone. Not all of you do that, but some of us can tend to have phone addiction. Can I get a witness now today? Somebody say that. I'm talking to myself. Amen. And so we need to be sensitive. We need to be focused on worship. We need to be focused on the word. Be focused. Somebody say, stay focused. If we're gonna walk closer with God, a closer walk with Jesus, we need to stay sensitive in living our lives close to God. Look at your neighbor and say, stay sensitive. In Ephesians 4:30, it says this way, in the New King James it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but by whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. I like what the New Living Translation says. Do not bring sorrow to God, Holy Spirit, by the way you live. Think about that. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So here, if we're going to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we must govern our lives with loving God and loving people. We must govern our lives in loving God and loving people. And he says here in Ephesians, just a little, for a few verses up, it says here, if we're going to make sure that we're walking close to God, it says, let no corrupt word proceeds out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearers. So he's saying if we're going to be close to God, we need to be very careful what we say out of our mouths. More than just us cursing. Amen? That's part of it. We need to be very careful about cursing. When we drop something on our foot, sometimes a bad word comes out. But it's more than just cursing. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And that's the reason why if you find yourself cursing, be careful, because you might be scrolling and listen to people that are cursing, and then you're going to start cursing. Amen? What you partake of, you become. So if you go to movies and go to the rated R movies and they're cursing and saying all bunch of stuff, you might find yourself saying that stuff too. That's why you need to be careful with what you watch and what you listen to. Amen? And so he says, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. And so this tells me, as an edification that may impart grace. In other words, we speak good of all people. We speak good of all people. We don't put people down. You can't make your light brighter by putting another person's light out. Amen. In other words, you need to speak good of people. Amen. Walk in the love of God. In Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So we don't want to be walking around, if we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, if we're going to have a great relationship with the Lord, if we're going to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we can't have bitterness in our life. We can't have wrath or anger. We got to let all that stuff go. We got to let that go. Let go and let God. Amen. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy when people do you wrong, when people do wrong things. You got to be like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes people do things out of ignorance. And that's me too. We can do things out of ignorance. We don't consider other people. We think, a lot of times, you know what people think about most of the time? Ourselves. Hey, if there's a group picture and you're in that group, who do you look at first? You. That we why? We want to make sure we look good. Right? We want to make sure, yeah, man, you're not photobombing the photo. You know, you want to make sure you look good. Amen. So, why? We tend to be more focused on ourselves than on others. But God wants us to be focused on others. God wants us to be more focused on him and focus on others. So when we act wrong, we behave wrong, and we follow dictates of the flesh that will always bring death into our lives. But when we follow the law of love, it will always bring the Zoe life of God into our lives. Let's focus on being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and walking in love towards God and others. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you." I'm going to say this, that should be your goal in life, is to walk in love towards people, that's including your spouse, and walk in love towards God, amen? Towards people and God, amen? So I love that. And so we need to walk in love. And one of the ways we do that is by not remembering people's sins against us. It says here in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Amen. So that means that when somebody has done something to you, you don't get back at them because you're letting it go. Say, I'm letting it go. And I love what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Powerful. That's powerful. So when you're walking in love, it will cover a multitude of even your sins. Glory to God. Amen. The number four key, if we're going to have a close relationship with God, we must trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you trust God? Do you trust God to lead you? Do you believe He led you to Exceed Life Church today? Do you believe, if you're watching, that He led you to watch today? I believe He led you to watch. I believe He led you to be in church today. If maybe just so you won't be hating on people. Glory to God. He led you here so that you can let go and let God and have a closer relationship. Somebody say, I trust God. Now, when you think about Jesus, Jesus had to walk down here. He didn't have His God power that He had when He was with God the Father in heaven. The Bible says that He walked down here like a man, but He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. So everything that Jesus did, He had to do it not in His own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And everything that we do, we don't do in our own power. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Understand that. And think about that because when Jesus, remember He was drawn into the wilderness? Remember He was baptized by the apostle, His cousin, and the Baptist, John the Baptist. And then the Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness. Some of you might say, I'm in the wilderness today. Amen. Well, you know, God may have, you might be in the wilderness, but you're coming out in the power of the Spirit. You may be in the wilderness, and He was in the wilderness, but He trusted the Holy Spirit to help Him through the wilderness. You might be in a wilderness today, but trust the Holy Spirit to help you through your wilderness. Trust the Holy Spirit. You might be feeling like that you have a cross and a burden to carry. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that cross and burden, glory to God. And Jesus had to trust God when He went on the cross. When He went to the cross, He had to trust God. He had to trust that the Holy Spirit would raise Him up. In Romans 8:11, it says, but the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And he who had raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit that dwells in you. So it says here the Spirit, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. So Jesus he had to trust God while he was on the cross. You know, no one was ever, Jesus died, and no one never had a resurrected body until Jesus did it first. And Jesus had to trust that God could do it. Think about that. It never happened before. Until 3 days later, Jesus got his glorified body. Think about that. A perfect body. Incorruptible flesh. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, he trusted. He said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And we need to be so sold out to God that every day that we're committing our spirits to the Lord, that we're saying, "God, I trust you no matter what." In the beginning of my series, I talked about that we can't be living on our intellect, but we must be living by the power of the Spirit. And in Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust the Lord with some of your heart." With all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. So we got to be very careful that we're not leaning on our understanding. And Psalms 91:2 says, "I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." I'm going to say this: through my life, I had to learn to trust God in every step that I took towards God. Going to Bible college, I had to trust God that He would help me get through the school. And before I went out to Bible college, I wasn't even accepted. And I went through a divorce, and I wasn't too sure if they would even accept me in the Bible college. But I went out by faith. We go out by faith, and they accepted me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They didn't reject me. Amen. And then I went to Bible college in debt, but God supplied my need. While I graduated from Bible college, God called me back to the church that we're at now. It was turned over to me, and I came back in faith, and I went in for evangelism, and they wanted me to teach the youth, and I wasn't a youth pastor, and you know what? I did, but because God told me to help them in every aspect, and they needed a youth pastor, and I said, "I'm the man. I'm the man. I'll be a youth minister." I had no formal training of being a youth minister. I just knew how to discipline. Glory to God. No, I'm kidding. But I just talk a lot about heaven and a little bit about hell, and it'll keep the kids straight. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, I know. Daniel was in some of my services. I talked about hell a lot of times in my services to keep them walking the straight and narrow. He still remembers those sermons. Amen. Glory to God. That's why he's in church today. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Amen. And so I had to trust God. I had to trust God when they told me to quit my full-time job and go into ministry for half pay and believe God for healing. They had no health insurance. I said, what's my benefit for health insurance? Believe God. I said, what? Yeah, that's what we do. We believe God. It's called faith. It's what you've been learning in here, this church. Okay, I'll sign up. Amen. And by the way, we got the anointing oil. That's your health plan for your job. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So I believe, but I have all my benefits paid for at the other job. Amen. Hey, you're on the faith ticket now. Glory to God. And you know what? I learned to believe God regardless. Amen. That helped me grow. Amen. And I'm telling you, and then they came to me, not only go full time, they said, "Now, do you want to pastor the church?" And I said, "Okay." Glory to God. And I pastored the church. And this year is my 20th year pastoring the church. Glory to God. Thank you. I'm still here. I'm still here. Amen. Glory to God. Some people say, man, I didn't think you'd still be around. Amen. I'm still here. Glory to God. I'm still pastoring. Glory to God. Only, see, if God puts you in a position, he'll keep you in that. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. If God puts you in the place, God can keep you in the place. And God kept me. I'm still here. And God is still paying the bills. And I look around and I say, God, you're doing the impossible. Amen. I got to trust God when some months are low and we don't have all the finances and we are short for the month. But thank God we have a savings. And thank God, God always he always comes through. I'm not working at 7-Eleven part-time, glory to God. Amen. Amen. God always comes through. There's always a blessing. He'll bring somebody in that will give a great offering. And we say, thank God. Whew. Glory to God. Sometimes at Exceed Life Church, you don't know that how the pastor's sweating at times. You don't see it, you know. Thank God that my wife handles the finances. She barely tells me what's going on. But I ask for a report. And then I start sweating bullets. Glory to God. But God can help you. And you got to trust God. Even if you're tight in your finances, I'm going to say keep tithing and giving offerings because God will eventually bless your life. Do you believe that today? And you may come in empty, but I guarantee you, you stay in here, you give, you walk in love, you will leave full. So if you're going to walk in a closer walk with Jesus, you must be aware that he's always there with us to communicate with us, and we should also be there to communicate with him by thanking him and acknowledge him every day. If we're going to walk a closer walk with the Holy Spirit, we must reverence him. We must have high respect for him and the people of the church and the Word of God. If we're going to walk closer with the Holy Spirit, we need to stay sensitive to him by living our lives close to God every day of our lives. If we're going to stay close to the Holy Spirit, we must trust him no matter what is going on in our lives. No matter what, you trust his leading, and he will always lead you into greener pastures. You believe that today? Did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness today. I thank you, Father God, as we follow these keys, as we follow these keys and move up higher in you, we're going to see miracles, more miracles in our lives. We're going to see your grace and your blessing being poured out in a greater measure in each one of our lives, every day of our lives. I thank you that we're moving into that Zoe, that God kind of life, that life of nothing missing, nothing broken, total wholeness. And I thank you for helping us to be all that you've called us to be. Thank you for a closer walk with Jesus in Jesus' name. And perhaps you're here today, perhaps you're watching and you are listening and you've never made the commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your life. This is the day of salvation. I want to help you come into that living relationship with him by praying a simple prayer. Just say, if you're ready to receive Jesus, just say this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus, that you were raised from the dead to save me. I receive you today, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. If you prayed that, listening, or watching, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. If you're here locally, come out, be a part of the church. We want you to be a part of the church family. If you're not here locally, find a good church that will help you grow in your faith. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church online so you can walk in that great blessings of faith that God intends us to walk in.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.